And the teenagers, if you'd like, if you're your parents, and if you'd like your teenager to go learn from vocab about Jesus, they are dismissed right now. For the rest of us, we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 18, the last passage of 1 Kings chapter 18. We will be in verse 41, so if you'd like to turn with me, please turn with me there now. Also, first to fifth grade kids, you are welcome to go as well in that classroom to your left. And they are dismissed now. But we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 18, starting in verse 41. And what we like to do is we like to stand for the reading of God's word. So if you are able, please stand with me as we read God's word, starting in verse 41 of chapter 18. And this is the words of the one true and living God. It says, "And Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain.' So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, 'Go up, now look toward the sea.' And he went up and looked and said, 'There is nothing.' And he said, 'Go again,' seven times. And at the seventh time he said, 'Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea.' And he said, 'Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you.' And in a little while the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." You may now be seated, Prince of God. Father, it is your word that gives us life. It is your word that sustains us. I pray, Lord, that we would actually believe what you say in your word. Lord, if there's anybody in here that needs to be increased in faith, Lord, I pray that you would use this message today to increase their faith. Lord, if there's anybody in here who feels immature in their faith, Lord, I pray after this sermon that they would receive your word and actually grow in knowledge and in faith. And Jesus, this is in your powerful, life-transforming name that I pray. Amen. Amen. I want to preach today from the title, Go Again. Go Again. And at our church, there are plenty of points in the sermon that I have. And if there's anything that sticks out with you, if there's anything that hits with you, anything that resonates, why don't you go ahead and write it down, put it on your notes, put it on your phone, and why don't you share that with somebody? Always be prepared to share hope with somebody. Always be prepared to share your faith that you have in Jesus. We all have hope. If we follow Jesus, there is always hope in Jesus. So if anything hits with you, if anything sticks with you, put that down. But I specifically want to preach from the title today, Go Again. Go Again. Now, I hope that this series has been blessing with you. I hope that you're enjoying it. I hope that you come expecting to hear God's word. I hope that you come expecting to actually grow. And in this particular passage, and really the series, we've been looking at God showing up. Sometimes in our life, we just pray and we're asking God to show up in our life. I need you, God, to reveal yourself. I need you, God, to come through in this particular circumstance and situation. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. And so we've been in a series called When God Shows Up, looking at the life of Elijah. The book of James, Jesus' little brother, he says in James chapter 5, verse 17, he says, "Elijah is a man just like us. He has a human nature just like me and you, but he earnestly prayed." And so the difference between me and Elijah, perhaps, is that he had a strong prayer life. He had faith in God, and he trusted God at his word that God would accomplish what he said. Now, when you hear sermons about prayer, when you hear people talk about prayer, there's an immediate feeling of struggle within us, some of us. If we're being honest, I don't pray as much as I need to, or I'm not in communication with God as much as I'd like to be because we're distracted, or maybe we have other things that we're focused on. And if we're being honest, this is our struggle. We struggle to pray, but I don't want you to receive this message today as condemnation, but rather an invitation. an invitation to actually be in relationship with God. The God who made all things has actually opened heaven and is allowing us to have access to him. And this is only by faith in Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross and when he rose again, heaven is open for all of God's people. And so you have the Father's ear always, always. So let this not be actually a condemnation to you. I hope that you wouldn't walk away feeling, I just need to try harder, but rather that this would be an invitation for you to commune with God in your life, the God who made all things. And also, I want you to also be aware, as I preach this sermon today, as I preach this text, that there are some things that you may be leaving God to do, and he will not actually come through unless you pray for them. God has set up the world in such a way that he has predestined things that will happen, but he also predestined that you would pray that they would actually happen, that you would actually talk to him so that he'd accomplish what he wants to accomplish in your life, but it won't happen without you praying. Now, this is mysterious. He set up the world in a way that if you pray, he will actually answer and accomplish his plan by using you, even you. And so there is no difference between me and Elijah. Last week, we looked at the battle at Mount Carmel. Elijah brings down fire from heaven at his word. God sends down fire and reveals himself that he is the true God, and Baal's false. And this is the same exact day, the same text that we're in, same exact day, Elijah just got finished going down the Mount Carmel and slaughtering all these prophets. It's been a long day. It's been a bloody day. It's been a hard day. But God is showing up, and he's doing something in this particular day. There's a drought in the land, for those of you who are unaware. There is no water, and therefore there's no food. And Israel is an agricultural. They're farmers. There's an agricultural society. They grow their food. No food, no water. People are dying. People are suffering. And it's because they're practicing what's called syncretism. They're believing in Yahweh, in essence, but really their heart is actually devoted to Baal. They're worshiping Baal, and they're okay with Yahweh. And so therefore, God has brought about a drought, but it's at the word of Elijah. What I've noticed about Elijah's life is he prays in such a way that he speaks in such a way that when he speaks, he's confident that God is actually going to show up. And if I'm being honest, this past week, as I was preparing for this sermon, I struggled deeply with this. I struggled deeply with actually praying such prayers that seem impossible for God to come through. And I think if we're being honest, it's hard to pray impossible prayers. Great prayers, because we really pray for only the things that we can actually think that we can do ourselves. If God, I can't come through, then God may not want to come through. If I can't put in a little bit of work, then God probably isn't going to do the rest of the work. Impossible prayers are praying things that only God can do them. We are the people who pray. Being a Christian is being a person who prays. We're the people who pray. We're the people who talk to God. We're the people who walk with Jesus. This is who we are. To be a Christian who doesn't pray is an oxymoron. It doesn't make sense. We're the people who actually talk to God, and God has made himself available to us. If we don't pray, we're not people of hope. Humility is prayerfulness. But pride is prayerlessness. If you live your life without prayer, you're actually thinking that you can live life and do things on your own. But when you are connected to Jesus and connected to God in prayer, you are trusting him with every day. And so we're in the text, verse 41, that we just read. It says, "And Elijah said to Ahab, go up and drink." And if you know this, Ahab is a king. But Elijah's the prophet. When you come to know Jesus, when you come to know Jesus and he saves you, you can speak before people of influence. And you can actually influence them. You know, when I got hired for the job that I work for now, first got hired, My manager professed to be an agnostic, but she was basically a, you know, professing atheist. But she's like, I don't know. It's one of those things that people, like, people, when you find out people know that you're a Christian, they don't want to be fully in conflict with you. So they're like, I'm agnostic. Maybe God, you know, but I don't want to fully say that there is no God. That was kind of who she was. And I love her. I love her. I still love her. You know, she's a great person. She has a nice heart. She's a person who gave me the job. But over time, she came to know that I was actually serious about my faith, that I was actually someone who actually followed Jesus, that I wasn't someone who just said I believe in Jesus, but that I actually followed Jesus. And over time, she would express the stress of a job or the stress of things that are going on in her life at home. And as I'm around and I'm hearing this, she would turn to me at times and ask me what I think. This is someone who's in authority over me, but when you follow Jesus, you have the authority of Jesus to speak into people's life who may be in authority over you. And so Elijah, he has no right to speak to the king, but now he's bossing the king around. Jesus said, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. And I want to be among those who are humble. I want to be among those who people see that person follows Jesus. That person has influence. They may not have the money that I do. They may not have the esteem and the influence that I have, but this person knows Jesus. And if you are a child of God by faith in Jesus, you have the message of hope. You have authority that Jesus has given you. You have the life-giving answer. You have faith. You have the answer to people's problems if you just speak. And you can even speak before kings. I'm not afraid to speak to people who have a lot of money. I'm not afraid to speak to people who have more education than I do. Which means even if you did not graduate high school, even if you didn't finish your degree, if you believe in Jesus, you have an inheritance. You are a child of the king. And you can speak before people of influence and influence them. Don't ever be afraid of people. Do not fear people who may be smarter than you. You have the message of life. You have the message of hope. Speaking before kings, humble yourself. You'll be exalted. There'll be moments. For there is a sound of rushing rain. This I find incredibly interesting. At this particular time, there is no rain. Not a single drop. No cloud in the sky. No smell of rain. Any of us smell the rain today? You could smell it. When you smell it, you sense that it's coming. When you see the clouds, when the skies look gloomy like it's San Diego here in Phoenix, you know that it's coming. Does anybody here like the rain? All of you do. I don't, but I'm grateful to God for the rain. I don't because usually that means I got to like clean my yard, and I don't want to do those things. So if anyone ever wants to help me clean my yard, you're more than welcome to come and help me. Yes, I tell my wife, you know, the rain is cool. It also makes you feel relaxed, but you can sense it. It's just in the atmosphere. It's just in the air. It's in the environment. It does something even to your mood. Elijah, though, hears the sound of rain, but there is no sound. Not a smell, not a sight of a cloud, but he hears a sound. Everybody else can't see anything, but Elijah, he hears the sound of rushing rain. What means is he hears it in his spirit. Before the rain ever comes, he believes and he hears it not with his senses, but in his spirit. We are the people who live in such a way. We are the people who walk in such a way. We live by faith. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, we are the people who walk, who live by faith and not by sight. Now, I need to educate you just for a moment. This does not mean that we're walking with life with a blindfold on. And now, when Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he's talking about the resurrection. And there's absolute evidence of the resurrection. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, according to the scriptures, according to God's word, there are witnesses of the resurrection. So we don't live by blind faith. God has revealed himself that he can be trusted. You can believe him. And so when Elijah says that he hears the sound of rushing rain, he knows that God is going to do it. But there's something in him. If I'm honest, I struggle with this. I struggle with praying such a prayer that God can do something, because if I pray this, and if I pray it publicly, what if he doesn't come through? This is risky. I don't want to be embarrassed if God doesn't come through. Elijah, though, trusts God. He believes God. And I think that the solution to praying these prayers is going to be in this next passage that I'm going to be taking you to, but it's getting alone with God and actually knowing him intimately. Elijah has a mountain that he goes to, but he hears the sound. What is faith? Anyone know what faith is in here? You don't know how the Bible defines faith. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the assurance, or the substance, some translations will say. But faith is the assurance. It's the confidence of the things that you're hoping for. It is the evidence of the things that you have not seen, which means for you, if you are praying for God for something, you're praying that God would save your kids. You're praying that God would save your grandkids. You're praying that your parents might be saved and come to know Jesus. You're praying that you might have a new job at some point. You're praying for finances for God to bless you. You're praying for maybe even a spouse. Your faith is, in essence, the proof of what you have not seen yet. How can I believe in something that I have not seen? Your faith is the proof. It is the receipt. But it's hard to believe. It's hard to trust when you don't have the evidence. But my faith is actually the evidence. If I believe in God's will, that he's going to grant it to me, and I believe he's put it on my heart, I need to keep praying for it. I need to keep believing for it. Romans 10 says how we get faith. So we need faith. Faith is how we live. Faith is how we walk. We're Christians. Faith is the assurance. It's the substance. It is the real thing. Jesus sees faith. But Romans 10 says how we get faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So how do you build faith? The more that you're in relationship with God and you're in his word. The more that you're listening to God's word. Now, some people may not actually have a good time reading God's word. I know that might be you. Reading the Bible is boring, some of you might think. You can be honest. This is church. It's not a time to lie. It's not a time to be fake. You can be honest. I know this might be some of you. Reading the Bible is boring. And perhaps it's not actually the Bible that's the problem, but perhaps it's actually us. Now, if you have some challenges reading, because you need to read in order to feed. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 4, he says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God," which means for us is that bread is not what sustains us. Physical food is not actually most important, but actually hearing God's word is more important. So what do I do and how do I build my faith if I'm not actually even a good reader? Or you need to develop systems in order to receive God's word, of course, coming to church. If you're not even a good reader, you need to hear God's word. There is audio available for you to hear God's word and hear it proclaimed. Sermons can be listened to, of course, as well. But you need to develop systems. You need to develop systems to hear God's word. No Bible, no word. No word, no faith. And no faith, no fruit. And some Christians are trying to live life like I'm producing fruit, but you have no word. You need to have word to produce faith and faith to produce fruit. Fruit is good works, how we live in obedience to Jesus. Verse 42. Well, actually, before I get there, I want to say something about this stage here. The sound of rushing wind. It's invisible. And faith is actually having faith in God who is invisible. God is invisible. We have not seen God. So it is having faith in the invisible, but God has proved himself trustworthy over time. He's revealed himself in the scriptures. He's revealed himself to us personally. He's revealed himself in Jesus. But faith is also in the invisible, and it's in faith in this invisible God that can do things that are invisible to us right now. There is this tension in theology. It's called the eschatological tension. The eschatological tension means that it is that space where you are believing God and you're trusting him at his word in the kingdom, where it is already here, but yet it's not here yet. They call this the already but not yet. And we know this from experience. You believe in Jesus, you're saved right now, already, but yet not fully until we actually meet Jesus face to face. So yes, I'm saved, but then all in the future as well. Am I in the kingdom? Yes. Is the kingdom here? Yes. It's already here, but at the same time, not yet. Because we have not fully experienced it physically. When Jesus returns, we will fully experience it physically. The already not yet, which means I may be believing Jesus to do something, to show up in my life, and I have faith for it. It is already done, but yet it's not yet here. That is the stage in which Elijah is operating in. I believe rain is coming. It's here, but not yet. For Elijah, it actually rains twice. Ahab, it only rains once. Which means for you, if you have faith in God and are believing him for something, it has already happened. You just need to wait. And this is that invisibility stage. I'm just waiting on God. I'm waiting on God to come through. Verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. He basically went to go have a feast. And Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Elijah's sitting and eating now. Ahab is sitting and eating now. And Elijah, he's now climbing. Anyone here like to hike? Hike? Yes. Some of you like to hike. I absolutely do not like hiking. I do not like it. Okay? I was scarred by it in high school, and I never really wanted to be in that type of intense workout ever again with hiking. I like going to Thunderbird Mountain. My hiking to me is going with my wife and our kids, and we just walk around the mountain, you know, just walking around it. Maybe some inclines, but mostly just around it. I don't really enjoy hiking like that. And when people want to go and, hey, let's go on a hike, you and I just talk. How are you talking? I'm out of breath by the time we get up the incline. I don't want to talk anymore. Now I have cotton mouth. My mouth is dry. There was an instance in which there were two men who wanted to mentor me in my faith when I was in college. Two men. Respect these men. These are two great men of God. They weren't pastors, by the way. They were just regular Christians that loved Jesus and had good marriages and loved their wives, loved their kids. And these two men invited me to Squaw Peak, that is now Piestewa Peak. Anyone ever hiked Squaw Peak Mountain, Piestewa Peak? Desiree, I see you. Yes, you know what I'm talking about. I think it's like number two or number three in place of Camelback Mountain. Camelback Mountain's probably the toughest mountain to climb, but Piestewa Peak, I think, is number two or number three. This is one of the seven peaks of Arizona. It's one of those major hikes. I didn't know what I thought we were. When I think of hiking, I just think Thunderbird Mountain, okay? And when I'm thinking of hiking, we're going to talk. I'm thinking we're just walking around the mountain. I don't think we're going to go hike up the mountain. But they invited me to a hike. This mountain actually, I think it's like 2,600 feet in the air. In totality, it's a mile and a half, almost 2 miles up and then down. Oh my goodness. But these men, at this time I was, I think I was 20 years old, okay? And I have been working out for almost all my teenage years, stamina, running, basketball, that's all I did. And I'm with these two men who are, one was almost 60, and the other one was in his early 50s, hiking up this mountain with them. And I'm like, man, can we take a break? I didn't even come prepared. They're the men that had the hiking boots on, you know, the camelbacks with the water in the backpack, you know, the straw coming out of the backpack, hiking up this mountain. And I'm there wearing a thick shirt. I didn't even think that we were going to spend that long there. It was early in the morning. It was 6 in the morning. You know, it's cool at this time. It got hot. You know, we were there until like 11, hot day. So I'm trying to keep up with these men. It's no big deal to them. And I'm just huffing and puffing. I'm almost falling off this mountain too, by the way. It's like we're climbing up stairs. climbing upstairs all the way. And when we finally got to the mountain, it's like that relief for people. Finally made it. But for me, it wasn't. I'm like, there's so many people in this mountain. Where am I going to throw up at? And if you've worked out with me and you haven't worked out with me in a long time, like if I haven't worked out in a long time, that's actually what happens to me. Like I told Rob, like Rob sometimes like, you know, let's work out. And I'm like, I don't really want to work out with you because if I work out and I've worked out in a long time, something's going to happen. Even if we do light weights, something's going to happen. And it did, right, Rob? It did. Yes, it did. We haven't worked out since then. Elijah, you know, sometimes when you see pictures of these prophets in the Bible, they look super old. Like they've got the long gray beards and they have like they're bald sometimes. But Elijah, he's like an athlete, okay? Mount Carmel is the same size actually as Thunderbird Mountain, okay? So I don't hike all the way up Thunderbird Mountain. But he hikes all the way up. And this is after he killed 450 prophets. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he has the energy to kill 450. He's doing this. All right, next up in line. All right, you're done. Okay. I mean, your arm's got to be tired at some point. It was a long day, exhausting day. Goes up to Mount Carmel, climbs. While Ahab, though, is eating and feasting, drinking, Elijah's climbing. And so you in your life, people may be celebrating their success, but will you be climbing? Climbing where? Climbing to the presence of God. Mount Carmel is the place of presence. It's the place where Elijah encountered God. It's the place where fire came down from heaven when Elijah asked God to come down. And he goes back up that long hike, been a long day, that long hike just to meet God there one more time. He's not celebrating. He actually withdraws from the crowd. He's not willing to just be lifted up. He's not willing to be exalted. People want to celebrate. He's not wanting to do that. Withdrawing from that. And what I think we can learn from this is we can accept the compliments in our life, but we also need to give glory to God. Don't just, you know, but also don't like, oh, it's God. You know, it's all God. Yeah, accept the compliments so you don't look rude. Okay, thank you for this. But I also want you to know that this actually comes from God. I don't want to receive glory. I want God to get the glory. So Elijah withdraws. He goes and he hikes, climbs, climb. Find me climbing. Find you climbing to the presence of God. Climbing to a place of presence. And this could be any place. Elijah has a mountain. That's his place. Do you have a place? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, all of you, Matthew chapter 6, he says, when you pray, and he's talking to the Pharisees when he's saying this, about the Pharisees, he's referring to them as hypocrites. When you pray, go into an inner room and shut the door. Pray to your Father in secret, and when you pray in secret, he will grant you your reward. Which means that Jesus, there is a place of presence. Daniel has a place of presence. He looks east. And Elijah, it says he bows down. And what he does is he listens up. All of us need to listen up. We need to climb and we need to listen up. And he has a specific position. It says, and he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. This is an interesting position. He's putting his face between his knees. And he's bowing low to the ground. Why this position? It's to cut off the noise. There are many things that are, the world is so loud, and they're trying to get your attention. You're exposed to all kinds of things on the internet and social media. People are just trying to grab your attention, but you got to shut out the noise and go to that place, go to that mountain, go to that inner place, shut the door, and be with God. Some people are like, well, I can pray to God anywhere. Of course you can. But you got to dedicate a place. This could be anywhere. This could be your office. This could be your shower. This could be early in the morning in your living room. But there must be a place. And why do I say there must be a place? Because Elijah is able to pray such powerful prayers because he knows God. And he knows him in such a way that he might know him better than us. But we have the Holy Spirit in us always, forever. He didn't even get to see Jesus yet. And we already know who Jesus is by the Holy Spirit. We need a place. Pick a place. I want to challenge all of you to pick a place. Pick a space to meet God and pray impossible prayers. Well, what if they don't come true? Well, we'll see in a moment. What if they don't come true? Elijah bows down. He's trying to connect with God. I love my AirPods. Anyone like their headphones? I love my headphones. Why do I say that? You're like, what does that have to do with anything? Do you never notice, like, when teenagers don't want to listen to you, what do? They put their AirPods in their ears, right? It's to cut off the noise. And unfortunately, it's the noise from you, right? It's to cut off the noise. It's the noise from you. Cutting off the noise. We don't want to cut off the noise to God. We want to be focused with God. We want to cut off the noise to the world. But sometimes we're just listening to the world and we're actually cutting off the voice of God. And invitation. This is an invitation to commune with God. Commune with God in a specific place. You know what I find interesting too? There are places. Daniel, I said, looks east to connect with God. Jesus, he likes mountains. He hikes mountains and goes to the mountains to connect with God. Here we see Elijah bowing, closing his, he's bowing, putting his head between his knees. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy, he says something interesting about men. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says, I want when men come to church, I want you to lift up holy hands, but without anger. Which means when you come into church, there's something about lifting up your hands in surrender. That doesn't mean that you always have to do it, but that means that you can get into a position either of lifting up your hands, opening your hands, that shows God that I'm surrendering to you. Sometimes you could just bow and you could feel certain things. Now, the Christian life is not based upon emotions, but that doesn't mean that it's void of emotions. If you get goosebumps and chills down your spine and the hair begins to stick up, it might be evidence that the Holy Spirit is doing something in you and meeting you in this moment. If you feel the goosebumps, don't just rub it off and say, oh, this is just my emotions. I'm just producing this chemical things and I'm thinking this. No, the Holy Spirit is with us. And he's actually showing us his presence in these moments. Embrace those goosebumps. Embrace the chills. Even if you lift up holy hands, you're like, this feels weird. Lifting up holy hands, God might be doing something with you and meeting you when you do that. Lifting up holy hands. Not without anger, which means you don't come into the church thinking that you're the man of the house. No, Jesus is the man of the house, and we lift up holy hands. It's physical and spiritual. Positions are physical sometimes, and they can be spiritual. Baptism is a great sign of this is a physical position that I'm going to enter the water, but it's also mysterious and spiritual that when we enter the waters of baptism, that God is actually reminding us that we have a new life in him, that we have been forgiven, that our sins have been washed away in the waters of baptism because Jesus shed his blood for our sins and given us new life. Verse 43. And he said to a servant, go up now. There's still no rain, okay? So there's no rain, not evidence of rain anywhere. Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again. There's nothing, but go again. There's expectation from Elijah, but the servant comes back. There's still nothing. This is when your faith is tested. When you're praying for something and you still get nothing. Your faith has not been tested yet if you have prayed and you haven't received. Faith is tested when you get nothing. If you're believing God, continue to pray. I met with a pastor who planted a church in Surprise. I met with him last year. Talked to him about how God is blessing him. And I'm like, man, how did you get all these blessings? How did you get all these finances? How did you get, you know, this band? You know, like, how did you get all these things? And he told me, he said, everything that I got, I prayed for and I asked God for. And then he's, and he does this to me. And I, you know, I'm like, man, I got to be humble here. Like, I got to be humble in this situation. But he does this to me. He kind of puffs up a little bit. He lifts up his chin and he says, are you praying that way? And I had my laptop with me because I'm working from home. Erica was my manager at the time, and she didn't know that I was working from home at a coffee shop, but I was working from home. We could do that, right? We could work from home. And he sticks his chin up and goes, are you praying like that? And I'm like, here's a list of the things that I pray for on a daily basis. I open up my laptop, and I said, here's all the things. I said, I guess I'm just not praying hard enough. And then immediately there was this tension between us that he said something he shouldn't have said, and he spoke in a way that he should not have said, which means just because God did something in his life quickly doesn't mean that God's not working in the grind of praying. There are things that I have not received yet, but I'm still believing that God's going to answer those prayers, and so I keep praying. There is nothing for me, so I go again. I have not received the answer from you, Jesus. I go again. Jesus has not saved my kids yet. I go again. Jesus has not saved my family yet. I go again. You go again. You go again in prayer until you receive the answer that you've been longing for. You go again. I'm trying to build your faith this morning. I'm trying to encourage you to have great faith, to go again. There are some prayers that you stopped praying because you didn't receive the answer you wanted. Pray again. Go again. Go again. Go back into your heart that prayer that you had that you did not believe God for, and pray again. This morning I woke up and I told my wife, and I told her, I said, so for those of you who don't know, it's not that big of a deal, really, but Levi's going to need to have some type of surgery. That's normal for a baby at this particular age, and it's fine. That's fine. And then she challenged me yesterday, and she said, why don't you pray that we don't have to endure the surgery? And I said, wow, my faith needs to be built, and my wife is telling me to increase my faith. And so this morning I said, hey, I prayed for our son last night. Did you check to see if we don't need the surgery? And she says, I haven't checked yet. Okay, we'll check later today. And if God doesn't answer, what am I going to do? Go again. Go again. We pray again. And we don't stop praying. If God is impressed it on your heart, you pray again. If you're single and you want a spouse and you have not received that answer yet, you pray again. If there's a job that you wanted that you have not gotten yet, and I'm in that boat too, pray again. I believe one day that I will be able to teach the Bible full time. And until that day, I'm going to keep praying until I receive that. I believe we have to go back again. Seven times. Seven times he goes up. Israel walks around Jericho one time. The walls have not fallen. They're not on the ground yet. Go again. Second time. They're not gone yet. You go again. You take a dip in the Jordan River again. How many times? I don't know. Do it again. Keep going again. Your faith actually is built on repetition. Faith just doesn't happen as in a microwave. In repetition, faith is built over time. And the more that you've been to the mountain with God, the more your faith has increased. The more you've been praying boldly these prayers, your faith increases and you learn to trust him more deeply with impossible prayers. Rob said something to me yesterday at men's breakfast that increased my faith. He said, look at our men's breakfast. Look at the conversations we're having. The conversations were different a while ago at our men's breakfast, but we're having conversations about increasing our life with Jesus, how that we could actually follow Jesus better and answer the calls that maybe God has for us. And he said something that I found profound. comes from Mark chapter 4. The kingdom of God is like a seed. Kingdom of God is like a seed that a farmer just kind of throws, or just a man just throws. He doesn't even think about it anymore. But Jesus says that that seed actually produces a tree over time. There are seeds that you've planted by your faith that you don't know what God's going to do, but they're going to produce trees and produce fruit that birds would come and nest in. Continue to believe that God will accomplish what he said he was going to accomplish in his word. Increase your faith. Furthermore, verse 44, still nothing. Go again. And at the seventh time, he said, "Look, behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea." And he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain will stop you." You know how much courage it takes to go back seven times? Elijah, he sends his servant. How much courage does it take to actually keep going back, to keep believing? I heard the sound of rain. I'm not seeing it, but I'm believing it in my heart. And if you don't come through, I might look like a fool to my servant. This is where our faith is tested. Do you actually believe what you're praying? We don't pray in doubt, but we pray and have faith that God is going to come through. Faith is tested. Increase your faith. So he sees something. Remember, he heard the sound of a rainstorm, but now he sees something. It's the seventh time. He sees a small cloud, which means it's not a rainstorm. It's small, and it looks insignificant. The cloud is what will be when the rain comes. But this is what Elijah prayed for. And notice, Elijah just doesn't go, "Okay, we got to go pray again." Rather, he says, "Go tell Ahab the rain is coming. It's small right now, but the rain is going to come. The skies are going to be filled with clouds, and there's going to be a flood here. It's going to rain. But it's just a small cloud right now. Our church is a small church, and it has been for years, but I believe that this is a small cloud. And I want you to know that you're a part of a small cloud, that the rain is going to come, clouds are going to come and fill this place, and God is going to rain. But he's going to do it because you prayed. He's going to do it because you prayed." Some of you in here, I've shared with you, I am shocked that you're in here. I've said this to some of you. You don't know how much you've built my faith by you coming here. You don't think, sometimes people don't think they do things for the pastor because the pastor seems to be doing a lot for other people. But just you being present in the house of God actually builds my faith. Because we prayed for you for 11 years. The church started with nothing. Nothing. This is a small cloud, but the clouds are going to be filling the skies. And I believe that by faith. I believe that by faith. These are conversations I have all the time. I believe that God is going to continue to do something and that you're a part of something great. That you're a part of something great here at Reborn. Build your faith. Increase your faith. Doesn't look like what I prayed for, but I got to thank God for it. Sometimes when you've been praying for something so long and then he comes through, like, this is not what I wanted. I've been praying for patience, but I didn't want someone to come and argue with me all the time. I've been praying for patience and wisdom, but I didn't want my kid to go off and not listen to me. You know, and God's not going to cause them not to listen, but he's going to use that as a situation to prepare you. Verse 45. "And in a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." This is why I said, this is why I said Elijah is like an athlete. Like, how the heck is he running down Thunderbird Mountain and catching up the horses? I have no idea. I have no idea how he's doing this stuff, but he is. He caught up to these horses, caught up to Ahab. Sound of rain came. The rain finally came. When you think to yourself, "Well, I prayed, but he didn't answer," we go again. And so I just want to challenge you all with this as we are ending our time today. First thing, pick a place this week. Pick a mountain this week, not a physical mountain. That place where you're going to meet God. And I want you to pray impossible prayers. And would you do me a favor as well? Would you pray impossible prayers for this church? As much as you've been praying for your family, pray for the church that you belong to, that God would do impossible things. We've seen God do little small cloud things. But I want to see God, and I believe God, that he's going to send rain here. Meet God in a mountain. Second thing is to pray impossible prayers. Maybe even go back to that prayer that you stopped praying and go again and keep going again until you get that answer from God. And also, at the end of it, if he does not give you the answer that you want in the timing that you want, he is still good. Continue to pray and continue to wait. Let's pray to our Father. Father in heaven, we love you. Thank you for giving us access to you through Jesus. Lord, I pray for rain. I pray that these people would actually increase in their life, Lord. I pray that you would give them influence and that people would come to know you, Jesus, because they're speaking the word. Father, I pray for opportunities this week. I pray that you would send people to these people here in this church, that they would give them hope. Tell them that it's not over and that there is always hope in Jesus. Jesus, thank you for giving us hope. Without you, there is no hope. Spirit of God, lead us to people. Lead us to back to the prayers that we stopped praying. Lord, may we pray for the impossible things to happen. And as we pray, may we grow in our trust and not waver. But may our faith be our confidence that you are going to accomplish the things that we've asked you for. Lord, if you put it on our heart, Lord, I pray that you would accomplish those things. And Lord, it will not happen unless we pray. Remind us of that. Jesus, all the prayers and all the thoughts that they have that are in your will right now, answer them, send the rain. Show them a cloud, but bring the rain in their life. And this is in your name, Jesus, in the Father, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. If you would like prayer, please come.